People remember seeing Sam summit the mountain. Witnesses remembered her sitting at the 4,000-foot peak eating a sandwich. She chatted with a couple of other hikers. She looked at her phone. And according to witnesses on the peak, when she was done eating, she got her backpack on and she started back down the southwest side of the mountain. And that was the last that anyone has ever seen of Sam Sayers.
We invite you to join us on our hunt for all things spooky.
We're here for the tricks and the treats.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Easy Bake Coven. Hey, you
happy 100th
sexy lady.
Episode birthday!
Happy 100th episode!
We did it.
Yay! We made it.
Are we done now? No, I'm just kidding.
You're like, thank God. And that's it. The end.
Checked that off the bucket list. 100 podcast episodes. Done.
100 episodes. Do you want to know something kind of funny?
Yes.
The other day, someone told me that she and someone were thinking of starting a podcast. And literally in my mind, I was like, ew, who even does that? It's so douchey. And then I was like, wait, I have a literal podcast. 100 episodes of a podcast.
100 episodes. But you know what? I do feel confident in saying, like, think long and hard about it before you do it, because it sounds like a lot of fun. And it is, but it's a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, don't kid yourself that this is like a fun thing. And she was talking about doing one with her spouse. Oh. And I was like, that's going to end so poorly.
So you're going to do all the work.
Or you're going to get in, like, you're going to butt heads. Yeah. There's going to be, like, thankfully we've never really had that.
No, we're both like, do we care?
Neither of us is, like, so invested in it that we're like, we absolutely must do it this way.
It's like, this sounds great. Do you want to do it? Yep, I definitely want to do that. Whatever you suggest, I definitely want to do.
Yeah. If you suggest something, I will glob onto it.
I think it might be different if we both were, like, depending on this to, like, become our careers or something. But, like, we each have full lives.
This is, like, actually, like, a hobby.
Yeah. It's like, well.
It's a really time-consuming, expensive hobby.
Like, gives nothing back.
It fills our hearts and souls.
It does.
And honestly, I feel like it just, like, gives us like a forced, like, excuse to hang out every week.
Totally agree. Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it does feed my ego when I see the numbers going up. I'm like, well, people care what I have to say about dumb shit.
I'm like, oh shit. Are we funny? People actually like listening to our podcast.
And then how quickly my heart. I question myself when it's like, oh, the numbers are going down again. Oh, no.
Yeah, like a slow week, like right around Christmas. I was like, well, should probably throw my computer in the ocean. Yeah,
just trash the microphone. Throw it
throw
away.
Throw my microphone equipment into the forest.
Buy, sell, trade, or whatever.
Get that $100 back.
Right. It did make me feel, though, like at Christmas, maybe we should just do like a month break, because it was just, you know, nothing was really happening, which I think is pretty par for the course in the podcast world, because everyone's all in their own family shit. And so too should we be in our own family shit and not.
Yeah, I wasn't listening to podcasts. Well, that's not true. I was driving to and from Canada every 4 hours.
Podcasts were your lifeline.
Listen to a lot of podcasts.
I bet.
But that's not the same for everybody.
No, not everyone has shit happening at Christmas. Such horrible shit.
How are you today?
I'm good. Eloise woke up with a fever, an inexplicable fever. I have a bone to pick with doctors, because they say that teething does not cause fevers or sicknesses.
And it totally does.
Every mom I've ever talked to says, yes, it does. So I'm like, what do I believe?
It's so strange.
Yeah, I don't
understand. I know. They used to tell me the same thing.
Yeah, and every mom.
And they'll say, like, no, it's not shown to cause fevers, but then it literally does. Yeah. It literally does.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
So I think last night I could see, like, the definition of her middle front tooth, like, in her gum.
Oh, wow.
Which is a big tooth to come in. So I think it's probably that. But, you know, it's always a little worrisome. Like, what's wrong? Why do you have 101.3 fever? I don't know what.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but I'm fine. I'm not sick, which is great. And
we'll take it.
Yeah. So, how are you? Are you sick free yet?
I am. So I'm still a little raspy, still coughing a little bit, but I'm on antibiotics now.
Oh, good.
So
yeah, you sound a lot better.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm, like, coughing a lot less than I was.
Good.
I'm alive. We're through the worst of it.
And so, did Russ get it too? I don't remember.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Poor dude. He's like, he's fine though. Just like a little cold. Okay. He didn't.
Did you get, did Matt evade it again? Evade the
Matt
sickness?
Literally did not get sick
he
at all.
He never gets it. I don't
he
understand.
Never gets sick.
The guy who drinks fair. Beer all the time does not get
I'm
sick.
I'm like, he's not healthier than me. He has a more robust immune system than I do. Yeah. Not fair.
No, not fair at all. I guess you just not need to drink fair. A lot of beer. That's the answer.
Oh my God. Did I tell you what I did?
What?
He was like, okay, so they won a couple of big projects last week and I was out and he was like, will you please pick me up some beer? Like, I need to celebrate.
Oh boy.
I was like, okay. So I was like, what do you want? And then I got it for him. But then I also got him, one of my clients was telling me about this non-alcoholic beer. I think it's called like Athletic Brewing Company or something.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
It looks like real beer. Yeah. They're like cool branding mm-hmm. and they're like IPAs. Like they're all different, mm-hmm. like the same kinds of beer, but they're just non-alcoholic. True. And she was like, yeah, I've been, you know, like really enjoying these and they're quite good and they're way lower calorie
and
they're non-alcoholic. So I got him a case of that too. Just sort of like subtly like, so we got home from the grocery store and I was like, I have something for you. Like went downstairs to his office and like gave him a beer and he was like, what the fuck is this?
He
I was
knew
like,
right
well,
away.
Matthew, it's the middle of the workday. Oh I'm not going to give you a beer right now. He's like, why not? I'm celebrating. I'm like, because it's 2 p.m. You can have this and you can have real beer later, you alky. I actually was like, you have a problem.
Have
so you're not. Yeah. You have. But you know, it's funny. Then he finished all the regular beer and he only had that one can of the non-alcoholic. And I said, like, how was it? He's like, yeah, it's actually pretty good. Like it tastes good. It's not bad. And it's 65 calories compared to like 150 in the other one. And he's like, no, it's not the same though. I don't want to drink it.
Next time
like,
you just need to put it in
means,
a cup and give it to
and
him.
And not tell him.
Be like, here
right?
you go.
That's what I should have done. Yeah. Like I got you this new trendy IPA.
Because it's not like he's getting drunk off of IPAs. Like what's the difference?
I know. I was like, uh-oh, is it the feeling of after having a few beers that you like? Because I just kind of thought it was the sensation.
Right.
I'm like, oh no, is right. this a real problem? No, I think he just is a stubborn white man in America.
He wants what he wants. Don't change it.
Like if he had come up with that idea himself, and he's like, I'm going to start drinking these during the week.
Oh, I can just hear him all excited and like, you know, here's my new thing on life.
Right. Yep. But because I'm the one who is like, hey, mm-hmm. you should try this.
Yep.
He's like, nope.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Men
are for the course with men in America.
Specifically the man that I married. I don't know if all men. I don't want to.
Well,
like,
my two uncles drink non-alcoholic beer. So,
really?
But they're from a different era.
My dad used to drink non-alcoholic beer when I was a kid because he used to say that beer gave him migraines. I don't know why I need to tell the podcast world that.
Now everyone
This is
knows.
What Russell was talking about. This is the chit chat. I'm like, let me tell you about my dad when I was a kid. No.
I love it. 100th episode, baby. Pulling out all the stops.
You know what? They keep coming back. So the banter must not be
must be
boring.
Good.
Or they just skip.
They could. They're like, they normally start about 15 minutes in. Okay, we've gotten through all the bullshit.
I literally do that. I literally do that on other podcasts too. Sometimes. I'll skip the banter.
I do that on many podcasts.
That's fine.
Like podcasts of people I like. I'm just like, no, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, even if I really like the podcast, I'm like, I don't want to hear about what TV show you're watching.
Yeah, I'd give zero shits.
Okay, speaking of giving zero shits about TV shows that people are watching, are you watching the newest season of True Detective?
Oh, no. We're going to. We were finishing Breaking Bad again, and I was like, I want to start True Detective, and Ben was like, no, we have to finish Breaking Bad.
One at a time.
Yeah, and so...
It's good. You'll like it. It's good. It's
spooky. And it's set in Alaska.
Yep, and it's kind of supernaturally. I mean, they always kind of are, but... so the finale was last night,
oh,
but
shit.
Matt plays video games on Sunday night, so we couldn't watch it. So we're watching it tonight.
Priorities. Well, I've been watching
back,
the new Love is Blind, so equally scary.
Oh, yeah. Maybe scarier because it's real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not blind,
terrifying.
Turns out, after 100 seasons or however many they've done, it's never blind. Never works
I have
out.
Said this multiple times. I'm not going to believe that love is blind in your quote unquote social experiment until you throw some ugly people in that quote unquote experiment. Mm-hmm. Everyone is at least marginally attractive.
No one's like really
and some
ugly.
Of them are quite attractive. No one is hideous.
Oh, there was this girl, though, on the season who really fucked. No, she's not ugly. She's not ugly by any means.
Okay.
But she compared herself. She asked this question. She's like, so have you ever been told you look like
a celebrity? Is she the one who said she looked like Megan
Fox? Yes. keep seeing the meme. Girl, I wondered.
Girl.
She doesn't you at do all not. Like Megan Fox.
And when he first met her, like, you know, like they show interviews that they give and he was like, she told she like lied to me about a couple things. Like she told me she looks like Megan Fox. She does not look like Megan Fox. I was like, girl, why did you sell?
You can tell that they're not going to last because one day when they're like now in present day, they'd be watching that together and she'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You don't think I look like Megan Fox?
The sad thing is that there was another guy vying for her affection and he was so sweet. And I think they actually would have been a good match. Aww. But this other guy proposed first and she said yes to him. And I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. There's still
snooze
more
you lose in the pod.
Yeah, snooze you lose in the pod. So... But also wild. Don't like, I was like, that's like me saying that I look like Kim Kardashian. Like in no world do I look like Kim Kardashian. No. Like, but of course you tell someone who's never seen you that and that's what they're anticipating. Like, why would you?
They're going to be disappointed. Yes. Even if you're pretty. Yeah. If you don't look like
if you don't look like a famous, gorgeous, you know, edited to hell superstar, then it's disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. There you go. You've heard all the
I'd be like, I look like, do you remember the Hunchback of Notre Dame, the cartoon version? Do you remember Quasimodo? That's my celebrity doppelganger.
Well, then everyone and then if they will really chose me,
they'd
be
like,
you.
What? Wow. What a pleasant surprise. You don't look that much like Quasimodo. No.
She was a babe.
I have scoliosis, so it's definitely more of a Quasimodo vibe.
Do you really have scoliosis?
I do, yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. That's another thing. We just watched Love is Blind Sweden. And this girl had scoliosis and the guy she was seeing who she ended up marrying, which is just ridiculous, he's such a douche, he heard that she had scoliosis and she said that she was bullied as a kid because she had to wear a brace and he's an idiot who doesn't know anything about scoliosis and he's like, oh my God, I don't know if I can be with her if she was bullied, she's probably ugly. Like, because he doesn't know. He's, like, picturing the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But I was like, she didn't know.
I never had to have any intervention.
That he'd said that. And then she fucking marries him. I'm like, this fucker. Wow. Like, can you imagine if a guy you were wanting to marry was like, she got bullied? I don't know. I don't know if I can be with her. Fucking asshole.
Yikes.
Sorry.
Nope.
Wow. Big tangent. Russell's proving his point.
If you were skipping ahead to the end of the banter, now you can stop skipping because here we are.
Yeah, 12 minutes.
Whatever. We got it out of our system. Okay, so today is our 100th episode. So I was like, we have to cover something that is important for this monumental occasion, obviously.
I'm so excited.
And I wanted it to be like collaborative so that you could be a part of the episode, but I didn't want to change our format and I didn't want you to have to work on your week off. So I just chose something that I knew that you would have a lot to contribute.
I have an idea.
That is actually part of the forming of our friendship.
I know
all
it is.
These many years ago.
Yes.
So today we're going to talk about the disappearance of Sam Sayers on Vesper
Peak. I'm so glad this is happening.
Okay, I thought you'd be happy. Okay, so we have to like go back to the beginning of our friendship,
the
origin story. That's what this is really about.
It's about us.
Okay, so in January of 2019, I got this Facebook message from this cute girl on the island who was like, don't usually do this. Sure, you don't use that. Don't usually do this, but... I like see that you're on Vashon and I'm also on Vashon and there are not that many young people on Vashon.
You don't look like you're 90 years friends? Old.
Basically, yeah. Because the average age on this island is 110.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. when you find other young people, you have to
reach out,
befriend them, especially if they look cool and normal.
And then you start a podcast with them.
So I forgot about this, but like, or I guess I just, I don't know. In the legend of our friendship, we just became friends immediately in my mind. But actually, that was January, and we didn't meet up until July. We didn't become friends until July.
Really?
We became Facebook friends in January of that year, and we like exchanged messages here and there.
So you were
we tried
still
to get together like once or twice. So I was pregnant and you were like, congrats on your baby, like to be, like da da da.
I do not remember.
Yeah, isn't that wild? I read through all our old messages.
Oh, I love that research.
So like, we were going to get together once before Russell was born when I was like quite pregnant, I think. And then I ended up having to work late because I got a new admit like right at the end of my work day. So I had to go to Auburn and I got back to the island late. And then I had Russell. So I kind of disappeared from the face of the planet for a minute. And then on July 20th, something very important happened at 10:42 p.m. Elise messages me Oh my gosh, I just saw you commented on the Sam Sayers page. How long have you been following this story? I've been following since the beginning and no one ever knows what I'm talking about, so I'm a little excited to see that you're on there.
Oh my
and
God.
I said, oh my God, yes, me too. And you said, yes, we are meant to be friends. And then I said, we for sure need to meet up and talk to true crime, haha. And then you said, we should go for a neighborhood walk one of these days.
Oh. My
and then I think
God.
Like 2 or 3 days later, we went for a neighborhood walk.
I remember
and
the
that's,
walk.
The rest is history.
Because
me too.
I had the wrong cross streets and I thought that it was.
Yes. You were on the
I
other
was like,
street.
Oh,
and
I need
was
to
like,
watch out.
Don't you live
and
on
then
this
I remember
road?
You were so cute at the bottom of the hill with Russell in the stroller. And I was like,
in this little baby
she?
Stroller.
Yeah, and your hair was all curled and looking nice.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, you looked very nice.
Oh,
for a new mom. I was very impressed.
Oh, thank you. It's gone downhill since then.
Same.
Yeah. So what's kind of crazy is that, oh my God, no, as we've previously clarified, you just get better with age,
oh,
Lacey.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So what's kind of crazy is that like we talked about meeting up, becoming real life friends for months. And then you were like true crime. And then I was like, yep. And you were like, yep. And then we became friends immediately. So we can kind of thank
true crime.
Sam Sayers'
together.
Disappearance for
Thanks,
our friendship.
Sam. Thanks, Kevin.
Sorry, Sam
if you
Sayers.
Did it. little secret thing
so
there.
For locals, it's kind of mixed. It seems like people here either know every intricate detail of the story and like watched it unfold in real time and saw all of the Facebook drama, or they're like, oh yeah, oh, that's the girl who went missing when she was hiking and they did a big search. Yeah, I remember. But like, it's kind of one or the other. And for probably most people, they're not super into it, right?
Yeah, probably not. I think she's kind of like a little bit of an unknown thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I think I was like on the bus from work or something. And I saw the post on Facebook like, hey, like I'm in like
Crazy.
Some hiking groups for Washington. And it was yep. like, hey, this girl's missing. Like, can you help spread the word? And so then I yep. joined the page and it was just like from then on, mm-hmm. I was invested.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I wrote here, for anyone in the area who's into true crime or outdoorsy stuff, they know who Sam Sayers is and all of the drama surrounding totally. Her disappearance. And I think this is like the first, like I remember watching Casey Anthony, like that unfold in real time. I remember watching Jodi Arias unfold in real time on TV. But this is the first thing that I remember in like the social media age,
yeah.
like watching it unfold in real time and like seeing
Me too, I think.
The people who they're talking about on the news, like mm-hmm. writing on Facebook and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on August 1st, 2018, Samantha Claire Sayers, 27-year-old woman who was about to turn 28, summited Vesper Peak in the North Cascades National Park. That morning, she'd woken up in the apartment that she shared with her boyfriend, Kevin Dares. She drove her little blue Ford Fiesta along Mountain Loop Highway, a highway that anyone here knows
yeah.
and is familiar with.
That's shocking also because my big client, Seattle North Country, that I do a lot of work for, mm-hmm. a lot of uh-huh. the stuff we filmed is on Mountain Loop.
Is that on Mountain Loop?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's really not that far from where we were in Index,
no,
even.
Yeah,
like,
you're
as
right.
the crow flies, mm-hmm. Vesper's not that far. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, I was going to say, and I feel like I implied it at the beginning, please interrupt.
Oh, sure.
At any time with additional info.
You're going to like refresh my brain a lot on this because it's yeah, funny. A few yeah. weeks ago, I was trying to think back on details and it's so sad. I'm so old
oh, that's
now.
Funny.
It's like, it's just a lot
I know.
Of it's gone.
Well, I would read things and be like, oh, right. I forgot about
yeah.
that. Like,
so I'm excited.
And there are some areas where I just like wrote sort of a general note of like, you and I can talk about it and,
cool.
you know, recall what we can recall. Because a lot of the like Facebook pages and stuff are not, they're gone. You can't see them anymore.
Oh, really?
So it's like, we're just going to have to remember as best as we
okay.
are able.
Love it.
But it's going to come back.
Yeah.
So Sam parked at one of the trailheads that leads to Vesper Peak. She signed her name in the Forest Park Registry. And Vesper is a very challenging hike. It is not for beginners.
Mm-mm.
It's like a little over 4,000 feet, but it's like up a really intense switchbacks. There's like boulder fields. You have to cross a river. Even in the hottest days of summer, there's still snow, patchy mm-hmm. snow at the peak. And it's like the last few hundred feet of the climb, it's like a very stereotypically shaped mountain, like a
yeah,
pyramid
truly.
At the top. And it's just like a rocky scramble. There's no trail. You have to literally climb and just scramble up the rocks to get to the top mm-hmm. of the mountain. Like I wouldn't go hike Vesper without
no,
training mm-hmm. first. Like I'm not even with my like some
right.
somewhat outdoorsy nature of like going for hikes and stuff, right. I would not no, be same. Prepared. I don't even have the some of the equipment that you would need. Like I don't have soft spikes, which you should probably you know, have if you're going to go up, especially if it's not like the, you know, the hottest time of summer. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it was really easy to track Sam's whereabouts throughout that day because she was really easy to spot. She was a pretty experienced hiker. We'll kind of get into it. It's sort of debatable, but like she's pretty experienced. Yeah. She did a lot of hiking. She mm-hmm. was out pretty often. And she loved to hike in yoga pants and a sports bra. So she was almost always wearing a sports bra. So like that's kind of easy to remember because you don't often see people, you know, especially because it is still cold up there in the summer, like and, when you're up that like, high and it's snowy.
I think it's one thing to like hike in yoga pants and a sports bra when you have extra clothes with you to layer back up.
Yes.
But if all you hike in is the yoga pants and the sports bra, you're asking for trouble because climates can change so quickly on mountains.
You're not prepared.
Don't do that.
Exactly. She was also bald. Sam was diagnosed with alopecia in high school, which is an autoimmune disease that causes you to lose your hair. And she, I guess, like tried wigs briefly as a teenager and found them really uncomfortable and itchy. So she just decided to rock the bald head. And she shaved her head really regularly. And on top of being bald, she had this huge like star tattoo design on the side of her head. Mm-hmm. So it's like this big kind of funky design with a bunch of stars that her mom had actually designed for her.
Oh, I didn't know
and it
that.
Was tattooed on the side of her head. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't know that either until I was reading for this. So people saw Sam throughout the day. Like you can track that she was hiking up the mountain. She was like overtaking some people. She was faster than them. And people remember seeing Sam summit the mountain. Witnesses remembered her sitting at the 4,000 foot peak eating a sandwich. She chatted with a couple of other hikers. She looked at her phone. She probably took a few selfies because Sam loved taking selfies mm-hmm. when she was hiking. And according to witnesses on the peak, when she was done eating, she got her backpack on and she started back down the southwest side of the mountain, which some folks would later say is the wrong side of the mountain to descend. Mm-hmm. So she was maybe going the wrong way down the mountain. And that was the last that anyone has ever seen of Sam Sayers. Or was it?
Or was it indeed? Back to the selfies. I feel like that's, you might touch on this later, but it's one of the frustrating things about her, I think, in the story is that the selfies that she would take were like in very dangerous places. So she'd be like on this precipice mm-hmm. and like taking a selfie over the edge where like, you could very definitely fall where you are. Like I think she got overly confident a lot of times.
Yeah. I was just about to say, I think people argue about how experienced she was. I think it's probably fair to say she was overconfident and underprepared.
Mm-hmm. My friend Rachel, I might have said this on the show before, but my friend Rachel is an amazing mountaineer. She's like summited mm-hmm. all kinds of mountains, all kinds of peaks all over the world. And she said that the more time she's spent outdoors, and you know, she's like mm-hmm. gone through mountaineering training, like she's very experienced. She says the more time she spends outside, the less she wants to do it alone because there's so many things that can go wrong. And just mm-hmm. by having someone else with you, you've got someone that can call for help, you've got someone that can watch your back, that can help you. And so, you know, I remember correctly that Sam tried to get people to hike Vesper with her that
she day. posted, it's really sad, she posted on Facebook, I'm gonna go out to Vesper on Wednesday if anybody wants to go with me, mm-hmm. and no one responded to it because it was like I think it was like a Wednesday maybe, it was the middle of the week, so most people were working
but I think on a mountain like that, it's probably smartest to have someone with you.
Yeah. Especially like that kind of hike. It's one mm-hmm. thing if you're going to like Rattlesnake or somewhere that's like,
many people.
It's like it's a hike, but there's going to be so many other people around mm-hmm. you and you're not going to be like on a steep edge except for at the very top. And when you get to the very top, there's going to be a ton of people surrounding you and you'll have cell reception most of the time.
Yeah.
Sam was born and raised in a small town near Lake Erie called Girard, Pennsylvania. She was a theater kid in high school and she loved performing. And she also liked being behind the scenes and like helping construct the sets as well. She attended college in Western New York, where she got a BFA and majored in like theater studies or something. It was like a theater degree. Mm-hmm. She moved to Seattle after college. And initially she worked at the Seattle Rep, the theater company.
Oh,
so she actually worked in the theater industry. Mm-hmm. She loved nature. She always was a person that loved getting outdoors. I think maybe that's one of the reasons that she chose Seattle, just the close proximity to like really beautiful, vast wilderness. And she really liked getting out for hikes and summiting local peaks. She met her boyfriend, Kevin, on Tinder, I think in 2017. It was either 2016 or 2017.
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin Dares is an entrepreneur who works in property management and real estate, question mark.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's something. We're going to talk a lot about him. He's a character. Yeah. He's a quirky character. Mm-hmm. He's from Louisiana. He has this thick accent. Mm-hmm. He's a strange dude.
Very.
And I think he does work in property management. He has some kind of like a real estate job, but he is an entrepreneur. He makes his own schedule. So
I remember
how successfully he does that. I don't know, but
I remember at the time seeing that he owned a bunch of Airbnbs that were like there. He owned apartments that he was renting out as Airbnbs all over Seattle.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. So I don't.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I guess good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Sam was kind of into this lifestyle where he didn't have to go to a 9-to-5. Right. He could make his own schedule. You know, he had some sort of financial freedom. And she was like, I want to leave my job and start my own sort of entrepreneurial hustle also. So she started a company that cleaned Airbnbs, I guess. I think she had like an Amazon storefront. Do you know that thing where you can buy things?
Yep.
Like en masse or whatever from China, make an Amazon storefront, sell those things on Amazon and make money. I think she did that.
I remember that.
Which was like, yeah, she kind of presented it like a curated, you know, shop.
And were there
but
like,
she wasn't producing the products.
Were there like kid things or like blanket? Like, didn't she sell like blankets that had like the month of, that the age of the kid was for taking pictures of? Like 1 month, 2 month, 3 month.
Yeah. Like stuff like that.
Weird.
Where she was just sourcing it from overseas and then... But I think that's like a, I don't know if it's a grift. It's a thing. Like I had a client once whose job was to help people set up Amazon storefronts and find something that they wanted to source from overseas and then sell it online at a profit in America.
Interesting.
Kind of like strange. But I guess, I don't know. I think it's, you can do it and you can make money. I think maybe she was involved in some kind of MLM-y stuff too, like Arbonne or whatever. I know her mom is an Arbonne consultant. Essential oils. I think she was kind of involved in that kind of stuff, but not like super, super grifty. Like I think she was actually hustling and putting in work to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I think. So because they worked for themselves, Kevin and Sam would get out for midweek hikes often. They would just go in the middle of the day where the trail would be less crowded and there'd be less traffic. She was almost always, like we said, wearing a sports bra and leggings. And he was almost always shirtless and wearing jeans. So they were like a really spunky, easy to spot pair when they're out on the trail together. And you can see proof of all this because her Instagram is still live. Yeah. You can still go look at all the pictures of them.
It's also such a strange choice to me because I literally despise with every fiber of my being hiking in jeans. I can't imagine it. Hate. I become a baby.
It would be so uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable. I don't understand.
And I think it's kind of like a statement. Like he's like, I don't need all that, you know.
You mean
tech gear.
I don't need all that. I don't know how Patagonia. To say it in Louisiana accent.
In his southern drawl. I don't need my Patagucci. Yeah. I can just throw on some jeans and do, which is like, on one hand, I kind of get it because people here are
for sure overboard.
Like really a lot about.
But just like put on some basketball shorts or something. Like something breathable and comfortable. Good God.
Yes. Yeah. Like there are, you don't have to go all out and be like the tech bros in their ridiculous Arc'teryx jacket to,
that
you know,
they
go
wear
for a 45-minute
to do
hike.
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Like what my child could do in Crocs.
Yeah, exactly.
But you also don't have to wear jeans to prove a point. No. Like that's probably a little bit silly. If you do, like Elise said, the weather can turn quickly. You get stuck in bad weather and you're wearing fucking jeans.
Yeah, no, like, no good. Like rain. Oh, no. God. You've instantly gained 10 pounds of weight.
Ugh. Exactly. Kevin and Sam lived together in the Belltown area of Seattle, and they were really active members of their local community. A woman named Kim Turner, who I don't know if she still is. I read an interview with her from a few years ago. She was a community health therapist in Belltown, and she was friends with Kevin. And when Kevin and Sam started dating, she befriended Sam right away, and they became really close friends. They used to do, I can't remember what they called it, but they would like drink wine on Friday nights and just bitch about their week, and they had like a name for it. it was cute. Like they, it seemed like they were good friends. And she said that Sam was, this is her quote, "She was a strong woman who was not afraid to speak her mind. And I love that about her. No. She was charismatic in the most genuine way." She said that Sam was a proud LGBTQ ally that was really important to her. And she thrived on activism. And she said one of her favorite memories of Sam was at a drag brunch in 2017. And she remembers that Sam was like cheering the loudest. Like she was so excited every time a new performer would come out, and she was giving them the biggest tips. Like she was just like shelling out the cash. And she said you could tell that this was Sam in her element, surrounded by this really theatrical performance and surrounded by her local community, and just like feeling like she was a part of the scene, you know. So back on August 1st of 2018, when Sam is summiting Vesper Peak, Kevin is waiting for Sam to text him to say that she was off the mountain and back in cell reception. They had this sort of agreement. Once you're back in, you know, cell phone reception, send me a text. She said she thought she'd be back around 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. That was her plan. And that morning he had texted her, "Be safe, ... SOS me if anything goes haywire." And she replied, "Thanks, baby. I love you." Admittedly, like, I think that's kind of a weird thing to text. I would never text someone that. I'd be like, "Hey, like, be safe. Let me know when you're off the mountain. Have fun. Be careful." But I wouldn't be like, "Let me know if it all goes to shit.
Right, and you
like,
need me to save you."
Like, are you anticipating that it's all going to go to shit?
Right.
But I also don't think we can read a ton into that one text, you know? I do think you can maybe read a ton into this. I don't know. So 6 p.m. rolls around and Kevin doesn't hear anything from Sam. And this is like the first thing that I find especially strange. Sometime between 6 and 7, so she's not even 1 hour overdue yet, he leaves Seattle.
So weird.
Kevin gets in his car, does not tell anyone where he's going, does not make contact with any friends, and he heads out to the trailhead to look for Sam. It's just not ever what I would think to do if someone that I loved was overdue.
Right.
And also overdue less than an hour.
Also, for people who aren't familiar with the area, to go from Seattle to Vesper Peak is probably like, what, an hour and a half? Like, it's not just like 90-minute drive. Jaunt. You know, like you...
No, it's a 90-minute drive. And you're without cell reception for a good chunk of that
drive. Right, so like, it's very likely that, you know, had she been coming down, they would have crossed paths and not even known it because they couldn't be texting each other. So to only wait an hour is just ridiculous. Like, I would...
And not
I would
to tell anyone or like...
Right.
Yeah.
I think by like 9, I would have been like, okay, something's amiss. 9 o'clock. It's been 3 hours. That's a long time.
And I don't think that I would just go drive out to the trailhead where I'm also without cell reception. Right. I would probably report her missing. I would tell friends.
Right. I'd call the ranger station.
Or I would come up with a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'd call the ranger station. I would do something other than just driving straight out there. Not only did he drive straight out to the trailhead, he stopped at a gas station and bought a flashlight and decided that he was just going to go find her himself. So by the time he gets to the Sunrise Mine trail lot, which is where she parked, it's already dark out. It's dark outside. He finds her car there and he decides, I'm just going to go start up the trail and find her. I need to stress again, this is not an easy hike.
No.
It's 6.8 miles, about 4,100 feet of elevation. I would not do this hike without training first, like I said. You're scrambling for part of it. You're climbing, like you're using your hands to climb for part of it. There's areas where it's challenging to find the trail, like, and stay on the path.
Also, this guy would have owned a headlamp, which would have made climbing much easier. Why did you not think to bring your fucking headlamp?
Like, he's just in panic mode and just got in the car and started driving.
But
it doesn't make any sense.
Which is just further proof that these people should not be hiking Vesper Peak alone.
Exactly. At one point in the hike, you have to cross the Stillaguamish River and you have to hop from boulder to boulder. Oh, that's how you cross the river. And the river is flowing, like it's running. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining it's kind of like the rocks are mossy and slippery.
Right.
Like, and he's doing this with a flashlight in his fucking probably jeans and a flannel.
Right.
Or like jeans and a t-shirt.
Right.
He also didn't tell anyone that he was going to be there either. Like, just irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
He actually made it a few miles in.
Wow.
He made like a good chunk of the hike very quickly. He was running. It was a good effort, but he eventually tripped and fell and broke his flashlight, of course.
Right
before the really challenging part of the hike. So now he's halfway up the fucking mountain. He has to make his way back down by iPhone light.
Good God.
He uses the flashlight on his iPhone to get back to his car. He said the whole time that he was up there, he was calling for Sam, you know, yelling out for her, shining the light around, and he hears nothing. He sees nothing.
I would like to say that, like, assuming Kevin is completely innocent and this whole story is true, how terrifying.
Yes.
Like, to be in this place where you I mean, first of all, you'd pull up and see your car and your stomach would be in your feet.
Yeah.
And then you're yelling and screaming. Like, the only thing I can liken it to
in a pitch black forest
is like when I've lost a dog or something and I'm like, where they're not coming. It's silence. Yeah. There's nothing. So I can't even imagine if it's your loved one and there's no sound. There's nothing. It would just be the most horrible thing.
It's just you and the forest. Yeah. Not to mention also the fucking bears and mountain lions.
Right. Right. And like every call you're willing like her to be like, oh, I'm here. I'm here. Help me. I'm here. And then nothing comes back.
Like
oh,
hey, here. I fell. I'm hurt.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Nothing.
Tragic.
So he hikes back down 3.5 miles and he drives 20 miles back down Mountain Loop Highway to a visitor center, which is staffed during the day, but it's closed at night. But there's a payphone out front. So he calls 911 and he reports Sam missing. I didn't listen to the 911 call. You can listen to it. I don't like 911 calls. I find that sort of horribly traumatic to listen to. But I read about people's speculation and the content of the call. Mm. So he says that she was due back. He's come to look for her. He explains that she didn't have cold weather gear. Like, she has a sweatshirt. I think that's
listen
it.
Listen to Lisey.
Exactly. He said that she didn't have a headlamp with her. God. She had 3 or 4 sandwiches and lots of snacks. He said later she never skimped on snacks. She always had lots of snacks in her backpack, but not a lot to survive out in the wilderness. And it gets cold overnight. Mm-hmm. She's up in the mountains. It stated over and over. She was seen going to the top of the peak, but there's like a sort of camping area like below, I think, before you sort of make your final stretch and scramble up. And no one saw her come back down to that area. Mm. So she's up high, you know, if she's still on the mountain, she's probably up pretty high and it's going to be fucking cold at night in her, you know, thin sweatshirt and yoga pants.
It's funny that we're talking about this because just before we got on, I was on Facebook and I just saw this random photo article thing about a gal who got lost on a trail in Maui. It was Hawaii. And she was missing for 17 days. And they showed a before picture and an after picture.
And then they found her, right?
Yeah,
and it was all weird and maybe like almost suspicious.
Yeah, I didn't read the story, but I just saw the picture. And she looked so skinny after just 17 days. Like, she'd lost so much weight. And that's in Hawaii, not on a mountain in Washington. So her 4 sandwiches and snacks, like, would not have...
It's not going to get her very far.
And Sam was already pretty thin, so...
And think about also, like, how many calories you're burning just on that hike. Like,
or even if,
like,
if
you would need all of those calories just for that one day.
I mean, just the calories also from trying to stay warm in a sports bra. I mean, you lose so much, so many calories by just shaking because you're cold. Ugh, the things that could have been
and
avoided.
They have like they couldn't remember which hoodie she was wearing, like Kevin couldn't remember which hoodie she was wearing that day. They're like, okay, it was either this maroon one or this black one, and you can see them in photos, and they're like, they're thin sweatshirts. They're not big, you know, thick sweatshirts. Ugh. Either he told the 911 operator, I had my flashlight going, banging, screaming, no word, I think she's hurt. So a sergeant named John Adams arrived around 1:30 a.m. to the trailhead to meet Kevin. It was his first year as the search and rescue sergeant for Snohomish County Sheriff's Office. And he said Kevin was amped up and ready to get back out there searching. Like, I, you know, I need to make contact with you. And then I just need to get back out there and find her. She's hurt. She's somewhere on the mountain. I need to go find her. John Adams said that even though he was new in the role, he got a lot of calls, and most of those calls were resolved when sheepish parents called him later in the night to be like, oh, okay, my missing kid came home, my missing teenager came home. You know, often they're false alarms. People are just late getting back, whatever. You know, there's no cell reception. You can't communicate if your plans change, or the hike took longer than you thought, or, you know. You had car troubles, like whatever number of things, which is the ideal outcome. Sure. That's what you hope for. You hope that a few hours later, you know, he gets a call that says, oh, actually, the person's not missing. And he said that he felt right away that this was going to be different.
Really?
Maybe it's because her car was there. Maybe it's because, I don't know, he could just tell, like, no, this isn't that. Oh, this isn't the mistake, you know, I'm going to find out later that everything is resolved kind of situation. He told Kevin not to go back up alone in the middle of the night. And he also said, I'm not going to stop you, but I don't think it's a good idea. Yeah.
We don't need two people missing.
Exactly. And Kevin was basically like, respectfully, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to go back up. So he's like, okay, then I'm going to help you because I want you to be successful.
Yeah.
I don't want another fucking missing person. So he gave Kevin a helmet, some food and a headlamp, and he watched Kevin run back into the forest.
Oh my God.
Middle of the night. Yeah. Then he used his radio to activate Snohomish County Volunteer Search and Rescue. So it's now like the early morning hours of August 2nd, 2018. Sometime in, I think that first night, Kevin got cell phone reception. I don't know if it's when he drove back down to the visitor center or maybe like, you know, sometimes you just get these weird pockets of cell phone reception. So he did what any normal human would do. He posted a fucking cryptic Facebook status that said, SOS, SOS, need help ASAP, missing, Samantha Sayers, please hurry.
What?
And that is how Sam's mom, Lisa, back in Pennsylvania, found out that her daughter was missing.
That is so horrible. What an asshole. Even if he's innocent, what an asshole.
Like the more now that I'm saying it out loud and like putting all these things together, and I don't personally think that Kevin is guilty of doing anything. I think that Kevin's guilty of being an idiot, kind of.
Yeah, like maybe just a like total I think moron. Maybe
he's like simple. Yeah, you know, like because these are all the actions of like a frantic person who
has no
is not thinking straight or like is just a fucking moron.
Right. Yeah.
Like, why would you run out into the forest in the middle of the night and not tell anybody and then fall down and break the flashlight you just bought at a gas station and then pose like, SOS, need help. Right. Like, so dramatic, so frantic. None of these things are going to help you find Sam.
No. Unless he had no intention just of like, finding Sam.
This is true. This is true. Yeah, maybe a sort of performative incompetence, like a bumbling idiot, but actually very sinister. So volunteers arrived to the trailhead around 6 a.m. and they took off in teams to comb the trail. They were all fucking business in the search. Sergeant Adams dispatched the county's Snowhawk 1 helicopter, which had an infrared camera that they used to scan for heat signatures on the mountain. The pilots also like flew over areas they thought she might be and like put their heads out the windows to look for her.
Jeez.
I remember this detail and finding it strange at the time. They found a tree on fire from the helicopter, Sam. And I remember reading in the Facebook groups that folks on the ground located the tree, and I think there was nothing suspicious about it. Like it wasn't involved or connected, but I still think it's weird. Why was there just a random tree on fire?
It's very
weird. Does that happen?
I don't know. I don't understand why.
Right? Like I could see like I don't know a forest fire that started by
a lightning strike
lightning or something right. But there was no lightning storm there that day.
I'm looking at pictures of this mountain again just to remind
it's pretty gnarly
like to the thought of I'm like stuttering I'm so overwhelmed the thought the thought of
we're doing, passionate about this case
of doing this in a fucking sports bra and tennis shoes just like I can't even.
Yeah.
I can't even. No. It looks horrifying.
Mm-hmm. Everett Mountain Rescue, which was a specialized group of volunteers, joined the operation. Within a few days, search and rescue from King, Skagit, Kitsap, Kittitas, and Pierce counties had all been deployed.
Dang.
Like, that's a lot of people.
To be a white woman on a mountain.
Right? And just for context, at the time, Lisa and I both lived in King County.
Yeah.
So this is, like, big close news. To us. Mm-hmm. Four other mountain rescue squads showed up at Vesper to help the effort. They brought trained dogs to sniff out her scent. I think I read somewhere at one point there were 14 dogs on the mountain looking for her.
Bring dogs from out of state too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later. Specialized human trackers came to look for footprints. A dozen Air Force pararescue personnel came up from Oregon. The Navy flew a mission over the mountain to look for her. It was like really intense.
Why do you think there was such a huge valiant effort for her?
We'll talk about it.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all of the regular reasons. And also they were really good at rallying the troops, essentially.
The good marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A really good marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing. No. It just simply is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kevin said that the first week he just remembers crying and climbing. He was just out there every day, you know, crying and climbing. They had this horrible glimmer of false hope on August 4th, the third, 3 days into the search. They'd been monitoring her cell phone for pings.
I
think maybe at like Lewis McCord, it was like the military or something, was using some sort of, I don't know, however they monitor people's cell phone for pings. And they're trying to locate her. And the last ping they had from her was August 1st when her phone pinged near the summit. It briefly connected because there's really shitty, you know, cell phone service up there. But it connected for a moment long enough to be like, yep, here on the mountain. And then all of a sudden, her phone pinged on August 4th in Belltown in their apartment. So they're all thinking, oh my God,
she's back.
She made her way down off the mountain in some crazy path, hitchhiked to the highway, had no way of knowing, you know, that we were all out here looking for her, and like hitchhiked home. Like she got a ride home. So Kevin was up at a base camp by Vesper that had been established by search and rescue. So they asked Seattle PD to be dispatched to the apartment. And what they found was Kevin's mom, Dawn, who had spent the whole day on the phone with the cell phone carrier, trying to see if they could access the data on Sam's phone and see if that gave them any clues, if she tried to send any messages, like what was the most recent activity on her phone. And the cell phone carrier was like, well, we can load the SIM signature into your phone and essentially clone Sam's iPhone, which is what caused the ping. So they loaded Sam's cell phone data onto Dawn's phone and caused it to ping in the apartment, which so it was just like so much sad. Disappointment after they had this sudden hope of like, oh my God, she's home. Yeah. It's just, you know, she made it home, but it was nothing.
Pretty cool
was,
technology, though, that they can do that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm guessing they didn't really find anything interesting, you know, with whatever data they were able to recover. Mm-hmm. Very quickly, Facebook became a really big part of this search. Mm-hmm. This is the Facebook group that you referenced in your message to me the following year when we were talking about it. And even since then, it's continued to be a thing. Mm-hmm. So first, Kevin or someone in their sort of friend group or community created a group called hashtag Find Sam Sayers, which pretty quickly grew. At its peak, there were more than 30,000 members of this Facebook group.
Wow.
Yeah. So Kevin would post in there and provide updates so we could watch in real time what he's saying is going on, what they need, what they're asking for. He started a GoFundMe, which pretty quickly raised like $60,000 for their search. They spent, so fucking stupid, they spent $5,000 on 150 Ziploc bags that they filled with flashlights, snacks, gear, and these little notes with instructions for Sam of like what to do and how they were going to find her and don't worry. And they gave these bags to the search and rescue volunteers to leave out in the wilderness while they were looking for Sam.
Which also, okay, I understand a person's life is at stake, but you just littered $5,000 worth of plastic bags all along a trail that no one's going to pick up.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Exactly.
Who okayed
that? So immediately the internet is like, that is not a thing. Please do not do that. We practice leave no trace out here. You are leaving many, many, many traces, 150 little traces.
$5,000 worth of traces.
Wildlife is going to open up those bags and it's going to be a bad idea for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, squirrels or bears or other animals are going to eat the snacks. There's going to be fucking plastic everywhere. Like, Sam's not going to find these bags and that's not going to be the thing that saves her.
No.
If she survives, it's not going to be because she found a Clif Bar in a Ziploc baggie with some instructions on what to do next.
Oh, God.
Kevin isn't from here. And I think it seemed like from the get-go that their approach was very like, Sam is all that matters. Finding her is all that matters. Fuck the rules.
Yeah.
Fuck the norms. We don't care about bears and squirrels and microplastics. We just need to find Sam. There's a life at stake.
Right.
Basically, fuck everything else. Mm-hmm. It kind of seems like that was their approach. Which
I understand.
Like, if that were my kid, if that were my spouse, I don't know. I probably would feel the same way. But for everybody else in the world that's watching them, they're like, seriously? Like, that's not a thing that people do.
Well, also, I mean, how many days had she been missing at that point? Like, if we think it, this kind of points back to your point about him being a little dense, like, we really think things in a plastic bag found along a trail are going to save her after this many days in the wilderness? I don't think so.
If she hasn't made her way out by this point, it's because she's so injured that she can't move or she's dead.
Right. Right. Or she's at a place on the mountain where she can't access where you're going to be throwing the bags. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If she could just walk right up and grab the bag, she would have fucking done it already.
Yeah.
Kevin was getting a lot of attention, and initially, he and Sam's mom, Lisa, seemed to be on the same page. In the first week that she was missing, Kevin went from being Sam's boyfriend to Sam's fiance. Mm-hmm. They had lived together for more than a year. They talked about marriage, but they were absolutely not engaged at the time that Sam went missing. He said later that they had all discussed it as a family, and they felt like the search would be taken more seriously if he were a fiance rather than a boyfriend. And he said that language is important and he wanted people to understand the serious commitment that they had to one another so that it would be conveyed, his commitment to her would be conveyed if they were engaged and people would take him and the search more seriously.
Or they'll look at you suspiciously when it comes out that you, in fact, were not engaged.
Yeah. And a lot of people will speculate over the coming months and years that Kevin loved the attention, mm-hmm. that Kevin really liked being in the spotlight. So being her fiance, the grieving fiance, sort of fuels that, you know, that sort of theory.
Scratches that,
you know,
itch.
Maybe he had other motives. On August 13th, it would have been Sam's birthday. And so they had a party for her at the top of the mountain. Oh, yeah. And there was this giant flag. Was it a pride flag?
I feel like it was. I do remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a pride flag that people had like written messages for her and like signed and stuff. And they were like dancing with the flag at the top of the mountain. And someone took a video.
I remember.
And like they were celebrating whatever. And they posted it online. And people freaked the fuck out because they were like, that is not a grieving fiance. Right. He's partying. He looks like he's having way too much fun. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really horrible. How could he be doing that? Doesn't he even care? Obviously, he did it. He's suspicious. And he's like, oh my God, like we were just sort of trying to celebrate her birthday and like keep, you know, the energy up and like keep our hopes up. And it was like this moment of levity in this like horrible time.
Which she probably like seeing.
It doesn't look good, but no. I also understand it.
And I feel like knowing, I mean, obviously I did not know Sam, but from what I remember learning about her, that is something she would have been totally in support of. Like she would have loved that they were flying a pride flag.
And he said, like, when we find her, she's going to be so happy to see that we celebrated her birthday this way. Mm-hmm. And like, can't wait for Sam to see this video and receive this flag with all these messages on it or whatever. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But again, like kind of tone deaf, kind of stupid.
Right. Also, how did you have the energy? I mean, I just think I would just be like, no, I can't fucking party on top of the mountain and dance around. God. And oh my God.
Climbing the mountain one time would be enough to destroy my body and spirit. I can't imagine just hiking around it every day. The official search, the sort of search and rescue and like government supported search lasted for 22 days.
Which is crazy.
It was everywhere here.
It's so long.
It's really, really long. It's really long. Members of the Facebook group called themselves Sam's Army, and they would rally to call elected officials and demand more resources
for the
search.
Wasn't it the longest search in Washington's history?
Yep.
Crazy. Yep.
There's a man named David Francis, whose son John disappeared in Idaho in 2006, and he runs this foundation now. He's become an advocate for the government tracking better data on folks who go missing in the wilderness, because it's not actually something that's tracked. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah. And he helps advocate for families when folks go missing in the wilderness. Like Sam, John summited a mountain and then he disappeared. And David said he remembers how two days after this guy disappeared, they called off the search for his son.
Wow.
And the county sheriff there in Idaho told him that he should give his son up to the mountain.
Jeez.
Can you imagine?
No.
2 days later.
Yeah.
So since his son went missing, David has tracked a lot of missing hiker cases. This has sort of become his passion. He said he has never in the whole country seen anything like the search effort for Sam.
Man, it would have to make you feel kind of jealous. Like, really? She got like, 20 why did she get all more that? Days than my kid?
Uh-huh. Nuts. In 2018, Snohomish County Search and Rescue launched 310 rescue missions. They spent 20,197 hours on missions, and 8,000 of those hours were looking for Sam.
Jeez.
So of 310 cases, almost all hours spent were spent looking for Sam.
Wow. That's
a lot. It's a lot. They gave a lot of effort to this case. There were local drone pilots who launched flights. And then I'm sure you remember this because I remember this. They would fly their drone all day or however long they could. Then they would pass their footage along to Sam's Belltown crew. And then they would post it on the Facebook group.
It was nuts.
And then they would ask everyone in the Facebook group, watch these hours of drone videos and flag if you see anything. So then people would, they had like Google Sheets, maybe they had spreadsheets. Then you would go in or you would comment or you would email them or whatever. And you would say at however many minutes I see something here. And then they would go and investigate. Yep. They would look at the video and then they would take the drones back if they needed to like rule out anything. And like, remember, it would be like, that's clearly like a stump. That's clearly a rock. And they'd be like, this looks just like a human body.
But
like, this looks like da da da.
That is what makes the Kevin angle so compelling to me, because they scoured every inch of that mountain.
They really did.
With humans, with dogs, with drones. And there was not one hiking pole. There was not one jacket. There was not one hat. There was nothing to show that she'd ever like been there.
No trace of her.
And it's just bizarre. Like, how can someone, they even found things missing from other people. Like, I remember they found sunglasses and they found like a jacket and they found things from that people had just left behind.
Then they'd be like, oh shit, like, is this evidence of her? Like, actually, no, that wasn't connected to her. It was somebody else's. It
belonged to someone else. So the fact that they couldn't find one piece.
Couldn't find anything
that
of her.
Linked her to that mountain is so bizarre to me. It's so weird.
There was a man named Steve Monchak who would fly his drone up there for hours and hours at no cost.
He was like a big part of the Facebook group, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he ended up having a falling out with Kevin. We don't really know why they had a falling out, but he started a separate Facebook page that we'll talk about later. And he is still involved in the case. He's still posting about it to this day. Another thing that we'll talk about later too. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. People were really, really invested in and remain really invested in it. It's hard because a lot of it doesn't exist anymore. Like, the online presence and the best timelines of the drama exist in Facebook pages that I'm not a part of or that are no longer existent. So like, I tried to join one of them the other day and my request didn't get approved because I don't think it's active anymore. Like, there's no one, you know, there's no one in it.
I, you know, as we've been talking, I plugged in, you know, her name into Facebook to see the old group. Like you said, it was gone. And it's so bizarre that it's gone. Like, I wonder what happened.
Like, such a wealth of information too. Like, there was so much on there. A $20,000 reward was announced. I'm not even sure if that was government money, her family, GoFundMe money. I couldn't find it, but it was announced. So then even more people start flocking to the mountain to try and find Sam because some of them want to cash in on the reward. Right. There's a man named Carlton Bud Carr, known as Bud.
This guy.
And he was a, you remember Bud. Oh,
how could I forget?
He was a journeyman carpenter from Concrete, which is a nearby town. And he showed up at Vesper to help with the search efforts. He had some unique knowledge of mines. When he was a kid, his dad bought a mine, I think in Colorado. So he grew up around mines in the mountains, and he had unique knowledge of the mines on Vesper. So there was gold and silver found in the North Cascades in the late 1800s, and there was a mine on Vesper, and Bud knew where these like really deep mine shafts and like ventilation chambers exist on the mountain, and some of them are totally hidden in the underbrush, but there are like sudden, huge, very deep drops that you will never get to the bottom of because they're old fucking mines in the middle of the mountain. Horrifying. So he kind of, I don't know, people were interested in this very outspoken, really quirky, sort of presents himself as really militarized, but he was never in the military.
I think you should also like, but his paint dad a was picture, like a
military guy,
like what he looks like, like like covered in tattoos, like they look almost like prison tattoos,
like head to toe.
Yeah, like
he has like a mohawk, doesn't he?
Kind of like dark hair. I mean, this is very stereotypical and maybe mean of me, but I feel like he looks like if his head was skinned. Like, or if his head was shaved, he'd look like a skinhead to me. Like, he looks not.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks questionable.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk more about his questionable nature as we continue in this story. But maybe because he was questionable. Mm-hmm. Maybe because he continues to be questionable. Maybe not. Boy. Sergeant Adams, the guy who was like the head of the search and rescue effort, said that he received hundreds of phone calls including one from the general in charge of the Washington National Guard who offered use of the National Guard's helicopters.
Good God.
Like, really intense response. There were useful tips that he got, you know, that people called in. Like I said, campers who saw Sam go up the mountain but did not see her come down. There were also psychics who had visions of Sam in all sorts of scenarios. Adams would also get calls from the Facebook warriors wondering why they weren't using bloodhounds. Oh. Not the right type of terrain for bloodhounds. If they were really doing everything they could to find her, were they really using all the resources that they had access to? And also wondering whether there was foul play involved. Kevin is just too strange. His behavior is just too weird. It's always the boyfriend. So he would get these calls all the time.
Also, wasn't there...
Sergeant Adams said he never really... Sorry, go ahead.
Weren't there fingers pointed at the guy who saw her on the peak? Like, hey, you were the last person who saw her going the wrong way. Maybe you killed her. And then he was like, dude, I was just trying to like be a messenger and tell you like, I saw her.
Literally just trying to help.
Yeah, please.
Just trying to show you that I saw her maybe going down the wrong way, which could have been a dangerous descent. Yeah. Sergeant Adams said he never really found anything to suggest foul play. He didn't see that angle. He's like, there's really no evidence to point to it other than like what you said, a lack of evidence to point to anything else. He said around day four, Lisa, Sam's mom, asked him what he really thought. And he said it's his policy to always be honest with families. You know, he's not going to sugarcoat it. So he said, I know you may not like this, but I think she's dead. I think we're looking for a body.
Oh, man.
He said that Lisa cried. She gave him a hug. And that was the last time that they ever spoke.
Wow.
Lisa was like, this man thinks my daughter is dead. I'm done with him. I have nothing to do with him. Hmm. On August 16th, Adams emailed a doctor at a Snohomish County EMS to ask how long, reasonably, a young, healthy person like Sam could survive basically eating the berries that, you know, are available in the Cascades in late summer. And the doctor's reply was that someone with mental fortitude and why did it sound weird when I said fortitude? The doctor's reply was that someone with mental fortitude and true survivor skills could find food to live on, but that person would have walked out by now, I would think.
Oh, man.
So basically, if she were still alive,
of a chance.
It's been 2 weeks. You would have found her by now.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout their 22-day official search, there were never any definitive signs of Sam. There were some footprints found on the southeast side of the mountain that maybe could have been hers, but maybe weren't, and they didn't really lead to anything. Search and rescue volunteers looked everywhere that was feasible to look, but there were some places that they could not physically look. One place was below the steep north face of Vesper Peak. So the edge of a glacier formed a moat at the base of the cliff, and it's impossible to get to the bottom of the ice. Wow. So there's really no way to search there. But everywhere that is, like Elise said, everywhere that they could search on foot, like people were rappelling down canyons. Mm-hmm. Like they really covered every square inch that was safe for volunteers to search. So on August 23rd, they suspended the search. And Kevin wept and the deputies wept, like search and rescue wept. Everyone was devastated. They really put their heart and soul into it. And I really think they thought they were going to find her dead or alive. But Kevin wasn't going to give up that easily. He was not done searching. So when search and rescue pulled out, the unofficial search began. David Francis, the guy who we talked about earlier, whose son went missing in Idaho in 2006, you know, I said he leads this foundation that helps families of adults that are lost in the wilderness. So he flew to Seattle to meet with Kevin and the Snohomish County Search and Rescue to help come up with Kevin's plan. But like, what's Kevin going to do to continue? And Bud Carr, the mountain man who knew so much about the mines, was also around.
Of course he was.
David actually told Kevin that he should involve Bud. He said, you know, Bud knows his shit. He's been involved in searches before. Bud had never found anyone before, but I guess maybe that's true for a lot of search and rescue folks.
But he knows his shit.
I don't know. Bud was an Eagle Scout as a child, which they tout a lot as like meaning that he had experience. I don't want to offend Eagle Scouts, but I don't think in this context that being an Eagle Scout as a child is particularly helpful to finding someone on a fucking mountain as an adult.
My cousin Ryan, whom you've met, who's lovely and accomplished and wonderful, he was an Eagle Scout, and I do not believe for one second he would think that he was capable he of be leading out on a search on a mountain.
No. I guess he had hand drawn maps of the area and like was plotting out like search zones or whatever. And David was really impressed by that. He is this gruff survivalist guy. So he gives off this, I don't know, some people would say he's arrogant and conceited. Some people would say he knows his shit. Like Lee said, kind of looks like a skinhead. Yeah. And if he seems like he looks like a convicted felon, that's maybe because he is a convicted felon.
Oh, Lord.
He spent four years in a Missouri prison for robbing a gun store.
Knows his shit.
He had dated someone whose dad was like a doomsday prepper survivalist.
Great.
And they hatched this plan together to go rob a gun store because they were going to need guns because the apocalypse was coming. Mm.
Tracks.
They're idiots, so they got caught. He said he found Buddhism while he was in prison.
Oh, God.
And he's a new man and that past life is behind him, but he learned a lot from it. So as anyone could imagine, the discussions around Bud Carr on the Facebook groups were active. People had opinions.
Lots to say.
And still to this day have opinions.
Yes.
Yeah. But David recommended him and thought that him and Kevin would make a good team together. So together, him and Kevin started what they called Operation Relentless Pursuit.
Oh, boy.
Kevin was in the military. Army,
that's right.
Maybe?
I think it was Army.
He had military experience. Mm-hmm. And Kevin's dad was a command chief warrant officer in the Louisiana National Guard. So Kevin asked his dad to come and help run their mountain camp. Like, will you come help with the search, too? So they set up a big old camp on the mountain with like canvas tents and a stove and all this shit that is absolutely not allowed in this fragile alpine wilderness area.
You might be about to say this, I don't know, but didn't they raise more money and then he just like Kevin like paid Bud like a ton of it? Like, wasn't there something weird with
money? They raised $60,000. Then Bud started a separate GoFundMe, which raised more than $10,000. So people were like, "What? Wait, aren't you going to pay Bud out of the $60,000? Right. Why does Bud need a separate GoFundMe? You guys are raking in a lot of money. Mm-hmm. This is expensive, but not that expensive.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
They camped on really delicate heather, which, like, you know, anyone in Washington knows people are very sensitive about that, which, like, is reasonable.
Yeah.
This is really pristine wilderness. Mm-hmm. There are really strict rules for a reason. We want to keep it that way. They just, like, trampled all this heather. They set up, you know, these big canvas tents that are not supposed to be there. They wanted access for a helicopter to come, like, bring in supplies and shit. And the Forest Service was like, absolutely not. So Kevin rallied Sam's Army on Facebook to call local politicians, to call the Forest Service office. People bombarded them with phone calls. And then the approval comes through. So they can now land a fucking helicopter in these alpine meadows. Like,
the power of the masses.
I remember watching that in real time and thinking, what the fuck? Why are people advocating? Like, this is getting a little silly. She's not alive.
Right.
If she's alive, she's not on the mountain. Right. You're not going to find... We're looking for a body. Mm-hmm. We're going to destroy this pristine wilderness to look for someone's dead body. I'm sorry. Like, that seems a little over the top. Mm-hmm. People would also just show up from around the country and offer to help look. People who had
no business,
no experience, had never even been in the Cascades before, would be much less fit than you or I to do this. And I would never in a million years think that I would be fit to go and help
and
with
suddenly
this.
And suddenly they're master body finders who have never hiked. They know, I've said, they're pros.
Right? They said that there was someone who was like a truck driver from, I can't even remember where, Memphis or something, or like, I don't know, the Midwest, who was like, I want to go help, and just dropped what he was doing and showed up at the mountain to help.
Like, sir, that is not sweet, but now we're going to have to spend resources searching for your body because you're going to fall and break
something. It is a wonder that no one went missing during their search. Like, it's kind of crazy. So there were people who would come and go, but there were like six of them that stayed up on the mountain, relying on people dropping off food and supplies, the GoFundMe funds to pay for their efforts. They brought in this other search dog, this gal who came from out of state and spent like 40 days on the mountain.
Yeah.
Something like 20 days consecutively with her dog. There's actually like pictures of her like out searching with her dog that I'll share on our Instagram post. But I like found a couple of Reddit comments from around this time period. Ooh. Because you can't see the Facebook comments anymore, but the Reddit threads are still there. Yeah. So I'm going to read a couple just to sort of capture like the general feeling that people were sharing.
Okay.
This is by a username Soft Cookie, which I think is maybe like a soft cookie.
Love that. Love a good soft cookie.
I love it. So this is someone had started a new thread in like the late summer, early fall of 2018. Hi all, thanks for starting this thread. I've been following along since the beginning. The family has done an excellent job of marketing Sam's disappearance. I do not mean that in a derogatory way. I'm a marketing person, and in order to keep this search going, you need people emotionally involved, and they've done a good job of this. Hence the 35,000 plus followers on the Facebook page. Anyway, I cannot blame the family for continuing the search. I probably would do the same. However, I question their use of Bud, mm-hmm. leading the search. I am a rock/ice climber over 20 years, have been a climbing instructor, taught high angle rescue to search and rescue members, mountaineer, etc. So have a bit of experience in this area. I would argue like a lot of experience mm-hmm. in that area. Mm-hmm. Yesterday evening, Bud posted a video to YouTube of him leading Kevin on a traverse of a very steep and dangerous rock wall drainage. Bud should have built anchors and belayed Kevin through this, but instead, no one was roped up and Kevin got himself in a bad spot until Bud finally dropped him a rope and belayed him up. To make matters worse, they are carrying mountaineering ice tools used for self-arrest on snow/ice. They are on rock.
Oh, God.
Kevin clearly has no idea how to use his. Both should have had these tools stowed on their pack as they need both hands to climb. I am seriously concerned about Kevin and other searchers, as clearly Bud is not leading this search in a safe manner, and it would be absolutely tragic if he got someone killed or seriously injured.
That's so, like, fascinating.
There's one. Pretty... I don't know, kind of summarizes well all the concerns that the Facebook people had. This is Tiny Garden Hero. Another great username. Been following since day one. I live in Snohomish County within an hour of Vesper Peak. I'm torn by genuinely feeling for Lisa, that's the mom, and at the same time being struck with the grandiosity of this whole thing. How could you criticize the official search and rescue when they went so far above and beyond? Because Lisa was really mad that they called off the search. We'll talk about Lisa in a minute. Our county put in a ton of resources into that 3-week search. How can you ask countless others to risk their lives searching for Sam, knowing the terrain is dangerous, and doing so after being informed there is no real way she could be alive on the mountain? All from the comfort of your own home? Sam is special and important, but no more so than anyone else. Yep. On her Facebook Lives, this is Lisa's Facebook Lives, she gets pretty haughty responding to any form of criticism. Narcissistic or mother in extreme denial? All in all, putting her 99.9% likely to be deceased daughter above other safety and well-being, and the complete disregard for the wilderness and wildlife, is really off-putting. And the gal on the Find Sam Sayers Facebook page that had the brilliant idea of asking the army of 35,000 to bring or send food to the trailhead? Oh my God. No bear-proof containers, no limit on amount of food received. Got pissed when questioned about wildlife concerns? The mountain has no doubt been scarred by this ridiculous unofficial search and rescue they've been running up here. What a clusterfuck. Shake my head.
Hmm. It's funny because
like,
when you read the part about Lisa critiquing or Lisa getting mad about any critique, I wondered, like, I'm sure mm-hmm. she's got a Google notification about anything Sam Sayers, you know, popping up in her email or whatever, and I just wonder if she's gonna listen to this episode and be like, these bitches.
I actually wrote that in here in my Lisa section, which is like, I know she's gonna listen, and so I want to be really mindful of anything that I say about her.
I mean, also, and like, our hearts go out to her 1,000%. Like, I can't imagine 100%. Being in her shoes. I cannot. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. it's no matter what the truth is, it's heartbreaking and sad.
One more Reddit comment from someone named Casodia. These are all great. I feel terrible for Sam and her family. On the other hand, as an experienced hiker and climber from this area, can we really consider Sam an experienced hiker like so many claim? Exactly. If you check her Instagram, she is seen hiking in a sports bra and cotton frequently. Cotton kills is a frequent phrase I've heard in the climbing community. They also say she had done this trail many times. Maybe she doesn't post a picture of every hike she does, but she does seem to post frequently about hikes. From looking at her Instagram, she only had a few posts from one time she did Vesper Peak. It was from last October. There was snow. They were again in jeans, cotton sweatshirts, and a sports bra. I hate that they haven't found her. The whole search seems like a mess. I just feel like she isn't as experienced as they have led people to believe.
Agreed, mm-hmm. For sure.
So finally, the snowfall is increasing. The temperatures are plunging in mid-October of 2018. Bud and Kevin called off their search. Yeah. They packed up the camp. They came down off the mountain. Kevin continued to do solo day trips to search for Sam. All in all, searching through the first 106 days of her disappearance. Wow,
that's commitment.
They kept up the effort for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kevin returned to regular life as much as he was able to. Something that I remember both of us finding shocking, because I didn't know it at the time, was that he has three kids.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had young kids at the time.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Weren't there also...
I'm assuming they live with their mom.
Yeah. Didn't text messages between him and Sam come out that was like, it showed that they'd been fighting pretty heavily towards the end of their relationship, where like... things were not as blissful as he made it seem. And I think
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that anywhere.
Yeah, and I think Lisa,
this is why I wish we had the fucking Facebook pages. The Facebook page became too much. People were accusing him and Bud of having an extended camping trip funded by the GoFundMe. Like I said earlier, Bud had created a separate GoFundMe, so people were kind of resentful of that. It was just full of like insults and conspiracies, and everything proved to be too much, so Kevin shut down the Facebook group. And in its place, we got Love, Light, and a Miracle, Facebook group created by Lisa Yak Sayer, Sam's mom. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist anymore, so I'm hoping that you can help me fill in some blanks.
Wait, Love, Light doesn't exist anymore?
I can't find it. I know it was Love, Light, and a Miracle, and then when Lisa's cancer came back, yes, it became Love, Light, and two miracles, and I cannot find it anywhere. And I scoured her Facebook for a while, but away? I cannot find any trace of it.
Is she still alive?
No, she's still alive.
Oh, good. Oh, my God.
She's still alive. She's posting about her dogs and stuff. And apparently she still will post videos about Sam sometimes. But I was like, I'm not going to scroll back through the last couple years to find her occasional videos. But I found like other people talking about her videos. Because, yeah, she posts a lot on Facebook. So in the beginning... Lisa, Sam's mom, started posting these daily lives where she would come on every day and talk about her daughter. And she's very like crystals, energy, love and light. So she called it Love, Light, and a Miracle every day. It's love and light. We're all sending love and light to Sam. Mm-hmm. Sam's going to come home. And she was like, Sam is coming home. My daughter is alive. I would know if my daughter wasn't alive. And for the first few weeks, it was like, yeah, of course. And then as the weeks went on, it was like, is she delusional? Is she in denial? Is this a coping mechanism? Mm-hmm. Your daughter is probably not alive. And then she... like the tone started switching, and I wish that I could go back and watch these videos to see when the tone started switching, but it started turning from like, she broke from Kevin. We don't like Kevin. And she was really subtle about it, but would say sort of defamatory things about Kevin to the point where his family sent her a cease and desist, mm-hmm, and would suggest that Kevin had something to do with Sam's disappearance. Then this line started showing up all the time, which is, we're working on our own investigation. And I can't reveal anything about this, but we're working on our own investigation.
And we're getting tips. We know stuff. And
yes. We have our own private investigator. We're working with whatever. We have this information. We can't reveal it, which then became, Sam has been kidnapped and sold into sex trafficking. Sam is alive. She's not on that mountain. She was never on that mountain. She made it off that mountain. She's not, you know, I never believed that her body was on that mountain. We're working on our own investigation. We can't say anything else, but Sam is alive. You don't need to worry about it. She's not there. We're on it. We're figuring it out. Sam was taken, maybe sort of alluding to the fact that Kevin had something to do with it.
Do you remember the report that she'd been seen in Canada? Like that she'd gotten down off the mountain, she'd somehow crossed the border, and she was seen in Canada.
Yep. I have that in so here because weird. I knew that you would have a memory of it.
Yes.
Yeah, we can talk about that right now. As this is all happening, right? The actually this is good timing. But do you remember anything other than like that about Lisa's lives? Because I can't find them, and I saw comments in some of the groups them. About them. Yeah. They is there anything always... else that I'm like missing?
No. And I mean, you know, this is not going to sound nice, but they were very rambling. You know, they would just go on. Some of them would be like 20 minutes long.
Kind of stream of consciousness.
Yeah. I know. One other thing I remember is that people were putting up yellow ribbons in towns, like all over the place, particularly in their town where they lived. And that was kind of like a way to commemorate Sam. Mm-hmm. And something they would always say was, come home, Sam, come home. We can't wait till you come home. And, oh, she's going to be home for this holiday. Oh, yeah. And I know she's going to be home.
I can't wait till she comes home. I just redecorated her room and I put up this stuff in her room, and I can't wait till she comes home and sees it.
Yeah. And everyone was, you know, very supportive and trying and, you know, feeding into this narrative that like, yes, she's coming home. We know it. She's coming home. Like, keep the faith. And I think most people realized like that's probably not the case. Yeah.
She probably wasn't.
Yeah.
And Lisa would, I'm doing a live every day until she comes home.
Yes.
I'm going to keep doing a live. And she, for like months and months, she did them every day.
It was a lot.
Maybe even like a year. I don't know. I stopped watching after a certain point.
It was just so sad.
You mentioned earlier a group popped up by Steve Monchak, who was the drone operator who'd broken from Kevin's group to start his own search. And his group was called, on Facebook, The Truth of the Sam Sayers Case. Mm-hmm. And people were allowed to go on there and theorize and say what, you know, what they thought was really happening and share their theories and share whatever. But I guess it got too dramatic because then another splinter group appeared called The Truth of the Sam Sayers Case Uncensored.
Oh my God.
Where they wouldn't delete comments or shut down your theories or whatever. If you joined any of those groups, then Lisa would kick you out of Love, Light, and a Miracle. So I never joined any of those because I wanted to keep seeing her lives every day and see what she had to say. So I tried joining the uncensored one is the only one that's left. So I tried joining that one, but I think it's inactive because it, you know, it'll say like, when was the last post? When was the last new user? And so like my request wasn't denied. It just was never approved. Mm-hmm. And then there's one that I think you and I are both still a part of, which is like Search for the Missing.
Yes.
Dedicated to Sam Sayers, which was a Sam Sayers group. That's still up.
Okay.
And that gal, Emily Blades, who like loves to sort of compile information and like talk about what she has discovered. There's not like a ton. So I was never a part of these other groups because I didn't want Lisa to kick me out of her group. I wanted to be able to, and she would go through and like look and see, and she would delete people. She would delete comments. If you said anything to question her, she would block you. So people would share like their theories on these pages. A lot of them were Kevin did it. He's too suspicious. People thought that they heard someone in the background of the 911 call when he called 911. Oh, there's someone with him. He had an accomplice. There was a gal who was on the mountain the same day that Sam went missing and saw Sam, and she emailed the sheriff's deputies and then also commented on Facebook to say that she saw Sam, and while Sam was hiking, she was watching an episode of The Bachelorette on her phone.
Sam was?
So I think, apparently. Jesus. So I think that this means that she couldn't have purposely killed herself or harmed herself because the season finale hadn't come out yet. So why would you be watching that if you weren't actually planning to watch the finale? So this is proof that she didn't do anything.
This is what the girl said?
To harm herself. She emailed the sheriff's deputies with this like important tip.
Also,
like, this is what we're talking about here.
So wait, Sam had to have like downloaded it to her phone to be able to watch it on.
Yes.
Also, why are you not watching where your feet are going?
Watch where you're walking.
Proves the point that she was not.
I wonder if it was maybe when she was like stopping for a break or eating or something.
But also, why aren't you just enjoying nature? Why are you watching the fucking Bachelorette?
Why are you watching the Bachelorette? Just so the whole thing is so bizarre. Weird. There were really strange theories, though, in some of these Facebook groups, like the one that Elise mentioned, which I think was in the Search for the Missing group, maybe. I should have looked for it because I remember seeing it after you told me about it, which is someone who lives up in Canada by my parents in Langley, actually like right by property that my family owns is where the sighting was off the Langley bypass, I think. and said that, like, was it like a week after Sam went missing, they swear they saw her looking dirty and disheveled walking down the sidewalk, and they knew it was her because they recognized the star tattoo mm-hmm. and thought it was really strange that they saw this bald, dirty woman with a crazy tattoo on the side of her head walking yep. on the sidewalk. Like, who knows? There were weird theories like that. There were people who swore that they saw Sam different places all over. There was a weird one last fall posted by Steve Monchak. I don't remember seeing it. About these people who said that they saw Kevin and Sam later that night arguing. Oh. And that they were going to go to the sheriff's deputies and explain what they saw. But this woman was, I don't know, doing drugs or involved in some illegal activity at the time. So she didn't come forward then because she didn't want to be scrutinized. So she never told anyone, but then she contacted Steve, but then she was like, not going to talk about it. But then she showed up on Facebook and was talking about what she saw, but then she was taking it back. And it's just like so much convoluted, dramatic, weird shit like that.
God,
like who even knows? Who even knows what to trust? Who is telling the truth? Who is a troll making shit up on a Facebook page for funsies?
Right. I found the exchange between Sam and Kevin it was about the bad blood.
And is it really real?
Yeah, and it's real. True? It's an email. Well, it says email allegedly from Sam to Kevin on July 29th.
Oh, yeah, because someone said that they had hacked
yes.
Kevin's email, but then Kevin denied that they had.
Right.
So it was never confirmed by forensic experts if it were actually true or not.
Right. But there's this whole email that she supposedly sent like July 29th. So like right before she went missing.
What does it say?
You go on and Detective on about how I have to be okay with you dropping thousands on your own pure singular pleasure. Great for you. That doesn't speak much for where I fall in all of this. You talk like a single makeup imaginary scenarios that you drop thousands on yourself and then accuse me of picking fights when I don't act like I'm perfectly okay in the imaginary scenario where you get to do all these things and I'm still over here waiting to do all the stuff we have yet to do together. The imaginary scenario where you're dropping thousands of yourself as I sit around waiting for you to show the same excitement and regard for me and the things I want to do with you. No, not really interested in that. And then you get to tell me that I'm in the wrong for picking a fight out of an imaginary situation when that's the furthest thing from the truth. I don't say shit. All I said was, I'm not down for that. You picked the fight. I'm glad you're focused on your own personal goals. Maybe if you were as goal-oriented for the things that we can do together or acted just a fraction of the excitement you had yesterday for things with me more often, I wouldn't get weird about being forced to rah-rah your imaginary space, airwalking Russian scenarios, whatever that means.
What?
You want me to be enthusiastic for you and your expensive single thrills, but you don't show me the same enthusiasm for stuff I want to do together. You ask me to go to the bar as I tell you I'm done with. It's my job to come up with anything new, my job to plan trips, my job to do all the couple stuff except some hikes that usually involve others, which isn't a problem, but it doesn't fulfill the relationship the same way. Family obligations? On it. Thrill seeking? On it, because nothing and no one can give me excitement, so I have to strap myself to a plane. Sam wants to do it? Meh, she can make it happen and I'll show up. It's exhausting being the one who thinks about the couple stuff, being the one who considers both parties, being the one who sits and dreams of stuff we can do together, and then having to sit and listen to all the plans and money and interests you have for yourself. And if I don't like it, I'm 100. She's misspelled here. I'm 100 perfect for I get treated like shit the next morning. I sit and talk about the trips we can do together, and the most I get is cool, plan it as a response. I don't punish you for it, but I say no thanks to shooting myself off into space, and I get told to fuck off. By the way, never said you couldn't do any of those things, and I'm just about done with being accused of controlling you when we both know you do exactly what you want, when you want, and where you want. If I don't, I can just see you later. I've never told you what to do. I'm not going to sit here and be accused of starting fights over some imaginary scenarios either. When I asked you 3 times what went wrong, got the cold shoulder until the night before I had to go back to work, and you decided it was a good time to inform me you were pissed at me. And then he responds and, you know, he says he's sorry for making her feel police and stuff. But like the key word there is control. Like he feels like she's controlling. Oof. So, I mean, you know, that could totally just be
maybe
a fight.
Maybe it's real. Maybe it's not real.
Or maybe it's just a fight between two people and your whole life is put out into the world after someone goes missing.
How many times have I asked you to be the alibi if I murder my husband?
On it.
But I'm not going to murder my husband. I'm probably not going to murder my husband.
That's
wild if true, though. Doesn't look very good for him.
And I think, but also, it really got
like,
weird.
A lot of couples fight and one of them doesn't usually murder the
but
other.
But also
usually.
The one, like, if you had just been fighting like that a lot, would you go and call the other one your fiance? You know, like, It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you found that.
Yeah, I found a whole, actually an entire Google Doc from someone on Reddit that is like everything from the Facebook pages, like outlined. It's 185 what? Pages.
Oh my God, that's the 180 pages that I was looking also for. So someone wrote that in one of the Facebook pages, there was a 180 page timeline
yes!
of all this shit. And that's why I tried to join that Facebook group. Oh. Oh, you're too good. Oh my God, Lisa will do the follow-up episode.
Oh God, no, you're doing such a good job. I've forgotten so many of the... Honestly, it's overwhelming to me, the thought of doing this episode, because in my mind, well, it was. It went on for months and months and months.
Yes.
And so I'm like, I don't know how to condense that into an hour because there was so much. So this is perfect. You're
crazy.
Nailing it.
Oh, I'm almost glad that I didn't find this beforehand.
You would have been so overwhelmed.
Because then this would have been like a 17 part.
There are so many screenshots and texts and like, I forgot that Bud's school was called the 49th Parallel Survival School. And like,
and then there's like a whole drama where Bud in like 2019 maybe, or maybe more recently than that, saw a woman hiking by herself, left a note on the windshield of her car that's like, you need to be more careful, it's not a good idea to hike by yourself, don't you know that?
I remember that.
And then posted a photo of it online, like, I like, look at how good and smart I am, I like helped this woman. And when all these people were like, would you, like, that's sexist, you're gross, yeah, that's creepy, would you do that to a man? And he's like, no, because men and women are different and men don't need the same protection that women need. Women need to be protected. Women are more vulnerable to both two and four-legged predators, da 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 da. And then ended up having to delete the whole thing because all these people were like, you're gross.
Are you
like,
saying
what
that
are you doing?
Women are more susceptible to bear attacks than men?
Yes, yes, that's literally what he was saying. And all these people are like, no, like, don't do that.
You know what's so weird? Looking back through this, there's a gal who screenshotted in here that I know now. She's like one of those, there's this PNW women's hikers groups, and she started it. And I've hung out with her before, and she became a mom shortly after I did. And so we've communicated back and forth a little bit about being moms. But I see her screenshotted here talking about this, and it's just... That shows you how small this web is in Washington of people who all have this, you know, similar interests. And it's just weird seeing so many people I know talking about this that I didn't even know had an interest in.
And like, there's a whole thing where there were two different Buds, and there were like, there's one Bud that's helping with this, and like, there are two guys named Bud that's involved. Oh. But I was like, how into the weeds do we want to get?
Oof. It could be hours.
Here's the thing. If you want to get really into the weeds, just go on the internet.
Oh, yeah. You can get deep into the weeds.
Just find this 185 page thing. Wild. I'm just scrolling through it and looking.
It brings back so many memories.
It really does. Yeah, because I remember seeing all this shit as it was happening. Mm-hmm.
And I remember there's a thing in here about how Kevin started his Tinder back up, and everyone was up in arms about that. Like, oh my God, you're on Tinder? Your girlfriend's been missing and you're on Tinder?
Oh yeah.
I was like, well, I mean, he does have to move on sometime. Like,
yeah, because it was like a year later, and people were upset about it. And it's like, I don't know what's the right answer.
Like, how long do you want someone to mourn?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's it's really hard. There isn't a right way to do it, you know?
Yeah, there's pictures of the yellow ribbons in there. And then Lisa had like a necklace made that had a compass on it, because in Sam's room there was a compass painted on the wall. And I remember she was like, this is this is pointing toward your way home or something like that.
Lisa had cancer. She was a cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. And then her cancer came back after Sam went missing. So then they changed the Facebook group to Love, Light, and Two Miracles, because the other miracle is going to be that she survived her cancer and she's still alive. Yeah. I think she still maybe has cancer, because she posted a photo not that long ago when I was looking at her Facebook that they were at like the radiology oncology, appointment or something like that. But she's alive and she looks fine.
Yeah,
she looks
great.
Healthy. Yeah, she looks like the same that she did then.
I'd be curious to hear what I wonder if she's ever come to terms with it, or if she still thinks that she's alive.
Yeah. Yeah, Emily Blades, who runs the Facebook group that you and I are a part of, that used to be a Sam Sayers group that sort of transitioned to like missing hikers, but still talks about Sam Sayers sometimes. She posted something that Lisa has sort of distancing herself from the human trafficking angle, but it hasn't said, oh, no, my daughter actually wasn't part of that. But it's basically just sort of like, we're just not going to talk about that anymore. But she still does like lives occasionally, apparently.
Didn't they say that with the human trafficking angle, it was like she'd been stolen from the parking lot, because that's how it happens. And
yeah. So, okay, what do you think happened? I want to know what your theory is.
Well, you know, people always said there was a good chance, like you said, she was in a crevasse, like up on the glacier, like mm-hmm. she'd fallen into a place mm-hmm. where they couldn't get. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably, she's probably somewhere up there that they just couldn't get to. Yeah. Now, especially yeah. knowing that she was watching a show, like it's so likely that she slipped and fell or, I mean, but then my only holdup is the fact that there's no sign of her. I don't understand mm-hmm. that. Like if you slipped, a hiking pole could come off your wrist or there would be something somewhere. I don't understand that facet. But, you know, the true crime brain at the beginning, when I first started listening to this, was like, okay, mm-hmm. maybe Kevin's up there so much because he's trying to lead people away or yeah, cover his tracks oh, or yeah. cover the body yeah. or just make sure that no one finds anything. But, mm-hmm. I also don't think he's like a master manipulator. I don't think he's like super, super smart.
Smart enough to do that.
So, yeah, I think that Mother Nature is very powerful and mm-hmm. she doesn't give a shit about you. And mm-hmm. you should feel very humbled hiking a mountain like that.
Yeah.
Because one false step and you could disappear forever. So mm-hmm. what about mm-hmm. you? What's your theory?
Yeah, I agree. I do think it's strange that they haven't found a single trace of her. And I also think it's really compelling that there are so many witnesses of her going up. She's such a recognizable, mm-hmm. like the bald gal with a big tattoo on the side of her head and a sports bra. So like multiple people remember seeing her going up and then no one saw her coming down yeah. except for one guy who saw her going down the wrong right. side. And I found a website that's like it's Northwest Hikers. It's a forum. Mm-hmm. And there's this organization called A Higher Calling Pacific Northwest, which matches climbers who want to donate their skills with community needs for missing people. So they work on abandoned search and rescue cases, mm. like for fun. Like they'll go hike and also like go hike in a like certain area. And this person went and hiked in the really difficult parts of Vesper that hadn't been searched before, and they went down into the sort of like glacier moats and stuff like oh, that wow. like they rappelled down into areas that were really technically challenging that most of the volunteers didn't look at. And they said on the north side of the mountain, no, we would have found her already if she were here. Do you want me to send you the link? It's got photos.
Yes, send me the link.
But then they said on the southwest side of the mountain, which is where they saw her maybe going down the wrong way, there are areas that like they were like, it's unreasonable. Like, I feel like we would have found something if she were here, but it's not absolutely impossible. Like, it is possible that her body is somewhere here in this area and we can't see it. Like, if she'd fallen into the glacier or something like that. But they said that this glacier is melting and will be gone in the coming decades. Oh, so it's wow. actually possible that if her body is in a place that's really not visible now, maybe they'll find skeletal remains someday.
God, looking at these pictures just makes me feel like, how would they not see something? Like how?
Yeah. Yeah. But also don't forget that there's fucking hidden mine shafts
that's true.
All over the side of the mountain. So she could have also like fallen, gone to try and, you know, seek help and fallen into a fucking mine shaft when you're off the trail.
To die alone in a place like that.
Yeah.
It's just, I hope it was a quick death and she wasn't
yeah. Yeah.
waiting for help.
There was a Seattle Met article the end of 2019, sometime in 2019, I think, where they interviewed Kevin. And it was really interesting. I think that the journalist is probably kind of sympathetic to him, but mm-hmm. also acknowledges all of the strange things that didn't add up. Or, you know, like, it's a good article, mm-hmm. I think, and pretty thorough overview of everything that happened. And they asked Kevin what he thinks. And he said, my hope now is just that she fell and it was really quick and she didn't suffer
yeah.
and she died painlessly right away. Because the idea, yeah, that she was like suffering on the mountain.
It's heartbreaking.
It's horrible. Horrible. But yeah, I think she probably died on the mountain. And also, if one day some crazy story came to light where she survived and, or, you know, like
yeah.
there was some other angle to it, I might be like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Crazy, you know, wouldn't have guessed it, but also right. maybe not impossible. And maybe that's why it's kept so many people's attention, because right. it just doesn't really all add up. Like you said, how does someone vanish in the wilderness, I guess, kind of easily sometimes.
Yeah. I think it's also human nature for us to hold on to the hope that, like, well, she can't really be dead because there's no way we could just vanish like that. Like, there,
yeah, it seems scary to think.
It is. And it's also, I think, the saddest as, like, a parent. There's no closure. Totally. There's no closure.
You don't get a body explanation. To bury.
Yeah, I mean, it feels impossible. Like, she can't just be gone. Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, she can't just disappear. No. It's like, well, actually, like you said, Mother Nature is unforgiving and very strong, and you can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So another crazy thing that happened, maybe we can just end with this because I know it's getting really long.
So good.
Kevin and Bud and their sort of crew continued searching for other people and continued sort of lending their efforts.
Expertise.
Because, yeah. And I think, like, from Kevin's sort of the way that Kevin has expressed it, I guess, is that, like, he felt indebted forever to all of these strangers who dropped their entire lives and showed up to help find the person that he loved. And he needed to repay that. So they were looking in 2021 for this girl named Rachel Lackaduck, who went missing in 2019. Not that far, like near Marble Mount, I think. Do you remember this case?
No.
She'd gone missing. She went for a hike on her birthday. I can't remember the name of the mountain or the trail. She was going to try and sleep in like a fire lookout or something like that.
Yes, I do remember.
And it was like late summer, early fall, maybe. And she went on a solo hike. She'd been like training for it. Her husband wanted to do it with her, but he wasn't like physically ready. So she went and did it herself. And then she just never made it back to her car that night. No. And she was missing for years and years. And the search wasn't as long, but it was really thorough. But it was the same thing where it's like there's so much space where she could be. They knew where she was last seen going up the trail. And in this case, this was really like a big mistake on her part, which is tragic. The weather turned and the first snowfall started falling, and she passed people coming down, and she said, like, how are the conditions? And they were like, it's very poor. We turned around at 6,200 feet. This is a higher elevation. We turned around because it wasn't safe. You couldn't see the trail anymore. And they advised she did the same, but she was like, I'm prepared. I got it, and kept hiking. And shortly after where she ran into these people, the trail turns really sharply, and she probably didn't see it. And there was heavy snowfall. So they looked for a long time, but the conditions were really poor. It was hard to find her, low visibility. It was really snowy. And so they called off the search. Her family kept looking. Her dad kept looking, like, you know, a similar kind of story. And in 2021, Kevin and Bud and a crew of people are out there looking, and Kevin found her remains.
Really?
Yeah. And they had used information that other people didn't have in the initial search effort. They were looking around, I don't know, like further up. They followed her tracks or something like that. They had reason to think that she might have been in a certain area. Then her dad continued going out there, and he found it like a campfire, I don't know, a year later or something, like remnants of a campfire and some trash. And he thought maybe it was from her. So he gave that information to Bud and Bud's crew, and they used that information to come up with a new search area. Oh, but what's crazy is I think that people had actually searched at some point the area that they were. And this article I read about it described how thick the brush was that you could easily have walked by and not even noticed that there was a body in a sleeping bag. So it looks like she got turned around and tried to make her way back down the mountain, but just went off into the middle of nowhere. So she was like lower altitude than where she had last run into those people, but she was still at like 3,300 feet. She was 3 miles away from like the trail or from her car.
God.
So she went like down the wrong way, basically got turned around, got lost. And then it was really, really snowy, and she wasn't prepared for it to be really snowy. So
she froze to death?
I think she froze
to death. Oh God.
She was in her sleeping bag. And so Kevin was like out with all these people. He'd gone ahead of the group, went a different way for no reason, just went sort of ahead and radios to the group, what color sleeping bag are we looking for again? And they tell him, and he's like, I've got her. I found her. I see her. And they hike down. He was up on a rock, and they hike down and just find all her stuff right there.
That must have
then
been...
there are more conspiracy theories, because how did Kevin just happen upon this body that's been missing for 2 years? Oh my God, he's a serial killer. He killed Sam. Now he wanted the glory of finding this other woman's body. When, like, in reality, it was probably a nice thing that he was trying to pay back this debt that he felt he owed.
Also, imagine how traumatic that would have felt for him Like, I found a body.
Finding someone else's body.
I couldn't find my girlfriend's, but I found this woman. Like, oh.
Yeah. If you believe him and you, like, believe the story, it's fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's really sad.
But also just kind of a weird twist at the end.
Totally weird.
Where he finds somebody else's body on a mountain that had been missing for 2 years in kind of similar-ish circumstances of, like, young solo woman unprepared for a hike.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything, let it be a fucking cautionary tale to the rest of us young solo women.
For real.
Young, emphasis on young.
Young
solo women that we should not go on. I mean, no one should. No one should go on a hike that they're not prepared for. You should always underestimate your skill and overestimate the difficulty and the conditions that you're going to be heading into, right? And
do not watch The Bachelorette while you're going.
Don't watch The Bachelorette at all. Can we just, I know you like guilty. It, but I feel like we can just make a blanket statement of, like, in general, it's probably not a good idea to watch The Bachelorette.
It's true. I mean, I'll stand by that. It's probably not a good idea. It's a horrible idea. Wow.
Anything I missed? Anything you want to add?
No, that was excellent. And it's our origin story.
It's our friendship origin story. God. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah, sorry, Sam.
I really hope that one day her body is found on the mountain.
Me too.
Yeah, for everyone's sake. And for, like, closure.
It's so sad.
It's just wild, though, like that you said, so much effort, so many people. No trace. She had hiking poles. She had a backpack. She had a sweatshirt. Nothing.
No sign. It's no weird. Sign. Not a beanie. Not, like, which
really does lend itself to the, like, crevasse theory.
Yeah, it really does.
Like, she fell down something steep very quickly. It is treacherous terrain. You know, you're scrambling. She went down the wrong side of the mountain. She slipped. There's no trail right there. And she fell into a place where her body is not able to be accessed.
Never be found. Yeah. Man.
Kind of hope for her sake that that's it.
Me too.
Or that she, like, I don't know, fucking fled for a new life or something. There's conspiracy theories about that too.
Yeah. Which I find very, like, she was really close with her family and it just doesn't track.
Yeah, it doesn't track.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that
crazy
story with us. It really is a crazy mystery.
A wild one.
Yeah.
A wild mystery.
I wish it would be solved.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be. I feel like it's one that could be in our lifetime.
If they find her on that mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if they find her in fucking Cabo. I don't know.
Or Canada. Langley, Canada.
Yeah. Or maybe Canada.
Weird. Well, speaking of missing women, I've got one to share. And it's on the exact opposite of the spectrum where there was zero effort put in to find her.
As it happens, always. Sadly.
So much so that there's barely anything for me to tell you. I've tried finding posts about her on Facebook. There's not one post. Can't find her account. The story that I found on ourblackgirls.com links to the National Missing and Unidentified Person System. And the article that it links to doesn't exist anymore. So they've, like, deleted it. I don't understand. I tried double checking to make sure that she hadn't been found. And that's why they deleted it. But nope, there's no report on her being found. I would assume our blackgirls.com would update it had she been found. So I think this is just a case of, you know, no information, no due diligence.
Wow.
So Kashina Mayhew went missing in November of 2023, November 15th to be exact, in Oklahoma. It says the circumstances surrounding her case are widely unknown. There's been no coverage. There's no update or mention on social media. But on Namus, where I said that article has been since deleted, they said that she was enrolled with the Cherokee Nation and went missing from tribal land in or around Tulsa. That's all that is known about where and how and when she went missing.
Oh, how sad.
She was 5'7". To 5'11". They don't even know how tall she is exactly. She weighs 175 pounds, has short brown hair and brown eyes. Her middle name is Jay, J-A-I. And she had a SoundCloud account under Kashina J. Matthew, where she did some kind of music. And she had a nickname listed as Sheena Shay Shay. She's American Indian, Alaska Native, Black, African American. And that's literally all that there is to say.
Man. Just goes to show like you said, the opposite end of that spectrum.
Yeah.
Why is it that some people get all the attention? Well, a few suspicions of why that would be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She's really pretty, young, youthful. So if anyone has any information, they're urged to call the Muscogee Muscogee Creek Nation Light Horse Tribal Police Department. Sorry, that was not more eloquent. At 918-732-7800 or their local authorities. Her case number is 2311-241. Again, her name is Kashina Mayhew. And
thank you for sharing.
How someone can go missing with zero information.
It's just so
where
sad.
Another girl can go missing on a mountain where it's pretty clear what happened.
35,000 people are in a Facebook page.
Yeah, for 22
trying to find
days.
Every little clue they can. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. So.
Bring this up with a good thing, Lacey.
Good thing. Actually, my
almost
good thing
100th episode
happened on Valentine's Day. And
what
I
is
knew
it
right when it happened. I was like, this is going to be my good thing this week. Because
oh my God, I love that.
I had planned to make Ben a nice meal. That was my Valentine to him, to cook him a nice dinner.
Beautiful.
Which has been very difficult to
domestic
do.
Domestic goddess.
Since having this baby.
Since that little Velcro baby. Mm-hmm.
And amazingly, that Velcro baby went to sleep and I got to cook for 3 hours. While she didn't wake up once. I made fresh pasta
this is
from
a nap?
Scratch. No, for her bedtime. She went to bed.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
Made homemade lobster ravioli from scratch. Made like a nice sauce. I made a Boston cream pie for dessert. And we got to sit down and eat it before she woke up. It was
incredible.
Incredible. I was like, this is what it feels like to be alive again.
Yeah. Wow.
It was really great. And it was a really
amazing.
Good thing. There's those little glimmer. I mean, it's just, you know, to have one night where I can cook a nice meal.
Yeah.
And then sit down and eat it while it's hot.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. Mm. It was glorious. Mm. So that's my good thing.
There's light on the horizon.
Yeah, so what's your good thing? Tell me all about it.
My good thing is that I am on the cover of magazine.
Yes! Yes! It's such a good thing.
It's like a long story, and this episode is very long. But basically, took photos in my flower field last summer. And Erica, the photographer, was like, why don't I come a little early? Well, back up slightly. She took family photos for us when Russ was a tiny baby. And I always thought about like doing it again. And I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool to have them in my flower garden when my flowers are in bloom. But I just I'm not going to spend money on that. Whatever. Right. I'm not going to do it. So then she messaged me, not even realizing who I was. Like she didn't even realize that she'd taken our photos. She messaged me on my flower account. Was like, I've always wanted to shoot photos in a flower field. If you're at all interested in having family photos, I would waive my travel fee and like hook you up and give you a good deal and take your pictures. I was like, okay,
yes.
That's really serendipitous. You took our photos before. And she was like, wait, really? I was like, yes.
She's like, awkward, my bad.
Yeah, she was like, oh my God, I didn't even realize. But it was like one of those mini sessions that was like, you know, a 20-minute mini session or whatever. Like we met her at a park.
Yeah.
And there were like 15 other couples
so
that day or whatever.
Yeah.
So she took these photos and she was like, why don't I come a little bit early and get some photos of you like in your flowers that you could use for your website, like for your branding and stuff. And I was like,
amazing.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Please.
Like, sure. So then she like takes all these beautiful photos and I was like, you know what? I'm going to submit these to this magazine called In Her Garden that my mom bought me a subscription to. It's like women talking about their gardens and whatever. And so I wrote this reflection about how like being in my garden and like growing flowers has been really therapeutic for me. It's helped me overcome like infertility and pregnancy losses and just like the really therapeutic value in the community connection that I've experienced and like very
introspective.
Like very reflective, not like this is how you like grow flowers. Yeah. Like it's kind of intense, a little deep. And they like I submitted the photos and they were like, yep, we want to have you in the magazine, write an article. So I wrote the article and I was kind of like, are they going to be like, actually, like that's not the vibe. Stop talking about your ectopic pregnancy and like tell us about like gardening tips. I just didn't know if they're gonna be like, that's not it.
Yeah.
But they were like, yep, perfect, love it. And they published it like exactly as it
amazing.
Is. So then they like posted this thing on Instagram like, I don't know, a month ago. It was like, help us decide the next cover of the magazine. And it was me, like my photo. They didn't tell me. I just saw it on Instagram and this other gal's photo. And the comments were not kind. They were horrible. They were like, I like option B because option A looks out of touch. She doesn't look like a real gardener. She did it like all
and
these
then
people
Haley's
saying
army
these things about me
came together.
Yes. Haley's. So then at first I was like, I'm not going to post about this. I'm kind of embarrassed. Like, this attention is weird. I don't like it. And then I'm reading all these comments and they were so mean. And I was like, I need some people to vote for my option. So thankfully, all these people did. I don't know if they actually tallied up the votes, because I kind of feel like that would be a wild way to choose the cover of your magazine.
But regardless, Haley's photo had way more flowers in it, which is about what the fucking magazine's about. So
thank you.
I commented and made Ben and other people be like, hello, look at the flowers.
You. Yeah. So then I shared it and my people commented. But she has like 8,000 followers on Instagram and I have like 1,000. So
followers does not equal quality.
Exactly. Then I emailed her like, hey, just I saw this like Instagram competition. Fuck you for putting me out there like that, by the way. It felt horrible. I didn't say that. But I was like, just wondering the outcome. And she never responded. And then last week, I just get this magazine in the mail and I open it up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm on the cover of this magazine.
It looks so good.
I keep being like, Matthew, can you believe that you're married to a cover girl? Model. And I'm literally like, hair unwashed, messy bun on my head, wearing sweatpants, like looking wearing his oversized hot sweatshirt. And he's like, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Fuck off.
And like, oh my God, when are the modeling contracts going to start rolling in?
Sports Illustrated just called.
And they were like, please never submit to our magazine, ma'am.
You're like, just, you know, I have a paddle board now. I would gladly model for you. And we're all so proud.
No, thank you. It turns out that I don't like being on the internet because people are not kind.
We have 100 episodes on the internet where we can be very easily judged for the shit we say.
That's true. Okay, I guess I just haven't seen it yet. People haven't been mean to us
not yet.
About the podcast.
I rue the day.
It's coming.
It happens.
It's coming.
With great power.
Yeah, because that's like, I guess that's what it means. You have enough exposure that people are mean.
Yep. And there are many people who would not like us, I'm sure, as much as I love us.
I don't even like myself sometimes.
I like you a lot.
Thank you. I like you a lot too. 100 episodes in. Woo! Boom. We did it. 2 hours. This is a long one.
To go.
Sorry.
It's the 100th anniversary. It has to be long.
It's true. This is a milestone.
I can't even listen to our first episode because it just makes me uncomfortable. Because I was like, we've come so far. I can't do it.
That's so funny. I like listening to old ones sometimes. But yeah, we definitely we've developed.
I like where we are now and like where we've been.
Me too.
But like the first one, I'm just like, whew, okay.
That's funny.
I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't quality, but it's just hard for me to...
I understand.
But I know we're not alone. Most podcasts, the first episodes are not.
We're going to feel this way listening to this 100 episodes from now.
That's right. And by that time, we will have billions of listeners.
Oh, God. And they're all going to say only nice things about us on the internet, because that's how the internet works.
That's right. That's right.
This dumb fucking bitch can't even talk. Oh, God. Nope.
The internet. On that note.
Well, on that note, say nice things about us on the internet. Leave us a little rating.
Please.
Like us on all the in all the ways that you're able to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Personally, professionally.
If you have a podcast magazine that you subscribe to, if that's a thing, tell
you
them about
put us on
us.
The cover. Lacey will do full nude.
Absolutely.
No questions asked.
Absolutely never. Haley will share her feet though, gladly.
Well, for a cost.
$45,000 a foot.
Yes. Yeah. Tell your friends.
And send us an email at the easybakepod@gmail.com if you have ideas about what you want us to talk about. Or slide into our DMs at Easy Bake Coven Podcast. We love hearing your ideas and stories. And also, we want to hear from you. You know, we've talked to body collectors and we've talked to people who've had ghosty experiences. And we want to hear your stories.
Or the aura photographed.
Yes, that's right.
Among us.
So
I got another taker for Slut for Cryptids sweatshirt. So it's going up.
It's going up. We just got to get someone to design it.
Get your vote in. Get your call dibs on your sweatshirt now before it's too late.
Before we run out. Because
at episode 200, we're going to print them. So
you only have to wait.
Clock's a ticking.
2 more years. Maybe we'll have some money made by then.
Hell yeah. Dream big.
All right. Love it.
On that note, dearest friends, on our 100th episode, please don't forget to keep it spooky.
And make it sweet.
Happy holidays.